I want to thank everybody who is here and those members who have come to support us. The purpose of this meeting is to adopt the report. There's a report that has been compiled after having met the department and its entities. So we have that report in front of us. It has been given to members in advance to look into it. But also yesterday there was a financial report in a form of a request by the department to add to what has been allocated to the department by Treasurer. And they've outlined a number of areas. So, in the process, of, I think we should look at this report and see how do we incorporate what the department has sent to us. If there are certain aspects of that request that we need to be part of the report, or how should we deal with it, so the members will just give guidance and critique the report that has been compiled, where you need to critique it or rephrase whatever that we need to do in this report before we can talk of the adoption. Members, over to you. I assume that everybody has read this report. Unless you want me to go page by page, I don't know, just advise me. Are we familiar with the report? Makumala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start by saying I would propose that we go page by page. However, some of us has gone through to the report, but I think it will be of advantage of all of us to go through page by page so that when we see something that we say we all in agreement with it, we are on board, all of us. Thanks.
I then assume that everybody has the copy of the report, members. Can we go through page one of the report? We're dealing with the report that is compiled by us first, and then we'll go to the edit request by the department. Page one. Page two. Nikema, do you have this report? Nike Albertine. Unayo, you see the unayo, definitely. Honorable Olive, are you on page two?
Yes.
Okay.
Chairperson, thank you. Page two, we've got this Inspection and Enforcement Services. And there is no comment here. While we've got the additional report yesterday from Mr. Banye, there's no comment in our report here about the shortages in the inspectorate. And I think we should put comments there that we feel that there are not enough inspectors, that they don't have enough vehicles to go out on the road. We've discussed this over the last year, so there's agreement on that. I don't think there's an argument about that. But I think we should add that under Program 2, Inspection and Enforcement Services. There are not enough inspectors. They don't have enough vehicles to go and do their work out in the rural areas, and we feel that that inspectorate should be beefed up. I think we should put a comment in there because, you know, later on when they hand out money, we need to say that we think this is a problem.
Okay. On this, Honorable Elizabeth Tablet.
No, thank you, Chair. I think on the same thing of the inspectorate, I'm not sure during your deliberations. But before, it used to be problematic that you find the mine health and safety ones pay better than these. Then most of them do go out of the labor because of the conditions. I think that's an issue that can be put just to address it for future, but also to increase the unannounced inspectorates. Because if you tell the employers most of the time, they then do some nice things, paint, whatever, and find that that's not the conditions. So if at least within an activist parliament, an year of action, they can increase in terms of the unannounced inspectorate inspections, that will assist a great deal then to deal with a lot of the employers who are not compliant. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think in addition to what Honorable Tabata raised, I think one of the key points that we spoke about was that the Occupational Health and Safety Act has to be amended because currently inspectors cannot just go and do inspection. They have to request permission to the person that they are going to inspect. In fact, any company. So therefore, this amendment, I think, is very critical and is one of the amendments that need to be done very soon in order for the inspectors to conduct their responsibilities. Secondly, I think the manner in which that the inspectorate has to operate, I think we stress the point, and I think even the DG promised us that there's supposed to be a launch of the vehicles which Honorable Ollis was talking about around May, where they will operate as if they are traffic officers. I think we need to stress that it needs to reflect as one of the responsibilities that the inspectorate has to improve on. Thank you, sir.
On page 4, I suggest that we put in a comment about the IT system. It's sort of implied here there's a concern around the fund's non-capacity to track claimants and an improvement is required in this regard. I think we must make a comment there that we note that there have been severe problems in the IT system and that needs to be fixed. The Commissioner did say he's working on it, so it's not a new thing, but I think we should just sort of emphasize that we're aware there are IT problems and that the Department needs to pay attention to fixing those. And then on the first line of the following page is a continuation. There should be decentralization of funds to provinces. I think the wording of that we should perhaps fix because it's not the money, it's not the funds we should move. It's the offices or the services. Yeah, the services should be decentralized, not the funds.
Thanks, Chair. On the very same issue on compensation, and I think here on the very same point of decentralization of the work to provinces, the Commissioner mentioned that five provinces were in operation and it should further go to the other four provinces. I think we should put it clearly here that all other four outstanding provinces should be in operation. And then
also on the issue of the IT system. He mentioned that as much as they were using Siemens, but compensation fund will be migrating to Rand Mutual system. So I don't see any mentioning of it, because it means now the compensation fund will not be utilizing the IT system or package from Siemens, but will be using something new altogether, away from the Siemens that is utilized by the department currently, that has an outstanding 2 years within the contract.
I just have a question about NEDLAC. We were told that NEDLAC was going to be moved to another department, I think. In fact, the presidency. Economic development, you're right. So while we still talk to NEDLAC, because they still do things in conjunction with the Labor Department, is the funding going to be transferred through Labor? Surely the funding should go through economic development, not through Labor. I mean, we still get reports and we talk to them because the Minister of Labour still sits on NEDLAC and will continue to sit on NEDLAC. But if they've moved the accountability to economic development, surely the budget for NEDLAC should go through economic development and not Labour. Or am I wrong? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
We were told that formally. But, yeah, it has not come to us formally. It's something that is floating in the air until such time. Still page 5.
Yes, yeah, madam. Mm-hmm. I think that's one area what made me to raise my hand. Yes, there were those, I'm not just sure what they would say, there were discussions or there were rumors that NEDLAC might move out of the Department of Labor. But for now, they are still within the Department of Labor. I think Herbert Mkhize, when he came to present his strategy as an entity, he continued. I mean, he keep on telling us that the key coordinator is the Minister of Labor and the DG of Labor. So I'm saying that they are still within. There might be those discussions, but there's no decision yet. The point for me, sir, is on UIF 6.2. I think we spoke about the amendment of the Unemployment Insurance Act. In order to cover people who have resigned, not necessarily because they've got better jobs somewhere else, but because employment relationship has made intolerable by the employer. And then such people, that's what is called constructive dismissal. So then such people cannot disallowed to get the benefits because they do pursue their cases, because it's not that a normal resignation. It's because of the employment that has been made intolerable. And I think the commissioner in response, when raised this point, he said, no, they do that, but that is limited when there is an arbitration award. I think that then we can't leave it to operate in that way, because nobody can refer a case to CCMA only to find that person has just resigned. We can't wait for an arbitration award. What has to happen is that they must amend the act in order once somebody has referred the dispute to any tribunal, should there be a case number, then that person can go to the Department of Labor and claim UIF using the case number. I think that's one area that I think is critical, Madam Chair. And the last one maybe is English. I think this interaction that has to take place between the Department of Labor and the Department of Transport in particular in relation to the taxi industry, I think for me we must put something that says is something that must happen within this financial year, because we'll find a situation that the taxi drivers are not covered on the UIF and compensation fund, whilst there is much work that has been done by the Department of Transport in registering the taxi owners or taxi associations, but leaving the taxi drivers who are workers who are not registered in terms of this fund. Thanks, sir. Last one, on this page, on NEDLAC. Because NEDLAC also, the last sentence is on page 6 at the top. I think that the where it says the committee recommends that the entity should consider establishing social dialogues at provincial and local government levels. Thank you, sir.
Just to say, Chairperson, that this is a budget report. It's not a business plan. So some of the things that Honourable Nyakemba has mentioned are very important, and we do need to discuss those in this committee. But if we put all of them in this, this is about money, about giving the department budget and telling them we think they should spend more money on this and less money on that. So perhaps some of those things should be put in things like the business plan and not the report on the budget, because it's not legislative amendments are not always put in the budget. They're put in the business plan.
You are right, Honourable Orles, but I think there is this report that has come from, this request that has come from the Department of Labor. And some of the issues need to be highlighted so that when we make recommendations to the Treasury, they see that there are other things that need to be performed by the Department on top of what is there, because this issues will deal with amendments, but we need more money for that. Not necessarily in detail, but just to highlight so that our report talks to the budget. Thank you. Page 6. Are we happy with that conclusion? When is lacking? Is it the right way to say is lacking, or not convinced, yeah, that I don't know which is there. Because if we say lack, for me it's like we are saying they have done completely nothing. So we need the right English.
Secretary saying clear?
I think emphasis. There's no emphasis on the.
Okay. Because if it is there, but it's not emphasized. Okay. So I think that's all for the report. So let's come to this report or this request by the department. Anything that members do also want us to go page by page on this issue? Yes, that they come up with your suggestions in relation to the budget, because I believe all of you have read it. Honorable Olive.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in general, if one looks at this budget, one might have some concerns about the number of inspectors that are funded, the positions that are funded in the inspectorate. We have all spoken about that at length in this committee. And also, we're aware that NEDLAC gets the smallest amount of money and that they really are on a shoestring budget. So both of those things, I think, are concerns. However, when one looks at this request from Mr. Manye and the department, he's broken it down for us in this table, asking for the 300 million for the labor policy, 435 million for public employment services, for 250 million, if my math is correct, for inspection services, and 215 million for administration, which gives him a total of 900 million, and then he writes us a letter asking for R1 billion. So, I mean, I have some problems with Mr. Money's application. The first one is that, you know, the math is just ridiculous. He's added in an extra 100 million without explaining. So we've gone from 900 million to 1 billion. What's he going to do with the other 100 million? Throw a party. I mean, he doesn't tell us what he's going to do with it. So that's my first problem. My second problem is that some of these things are, he's asking for far too much money. To ask for 300 million rand for labor policy development is nonsense. He will never get it. The people in Treasury will phone him up and ask him if he's, you know, on drugs. I mean, it's crazy. You need a lawyer. You need a couple of lawyers, maybe, for a month or two. You don't need 300 million rand for legal fees. That's just crazy. However, we do agree, I think, and I think the committee would obviously all agree on, in terms of there being not enough inspectors and vehicles and uniforms and all that for the inspectorate. So there is one area where we agree with Mr. Manye that there is not enough money, and that is for the inspectors. But for the rest of it, I think he's being a little bit extreme. He's not going to get all of that money, and we are not able to approve it for him, as I discussed beforehand. The fiscal framework has been agreed by Parliament. So the total number of money, available for Parliament is capped. It's fixed. There's so many billions. There it is. We must now use that money and allocate it. So all that can happen now is that Treasury can switch money between blocks, but they can't increase the total number of blocks. So if we say to the Treasury that we would like them to give Mr. Manye additional funding to run the department for the inspectors and the vehicles and all that, they're going to have to steal it from, you know, libraries or I don't know where they're going to steal it, but they're going to have to steal it from somewhere else to give it to the Labor Department. So we can't ask for big amounts of money because they will laugh at us. If we want them to do something, we must be realistic. We must be very specific. And I don't think this request by the department is realistic. I mean, they lose 100 million between the table and the letter. 100 million is just, what is it for? So my suggestion is that what we do as a committee is that we recommend to Treasury that they look at the concern around the number of inspectors in the Labor Department, and if they can allocate more money to that, we would like that. But these other things that the department wants, I think, are just crazy. There's too much money. They will never get it. That's my view anyway. Thank you.
I'm not comfortable with that language of drugs and parties. Not that
there is, I know that you are not saying they are all, but I don't know how it's going to be projected. But in most cases, when these languages are used by other people in the community, when they're out there, they are distorted big time. But I'm sure you will be quoted in the proper perspective. I doubt the media will not distort you, not at all. Mr. Manyi was here. Yeah, I don't remember, but you're right. I think it's unfortunate that this has been sent and there is no explanation. But when they were here in front of the minister, I remember minister asked them to what is this billion? It wasn't clear even that day. So I don't think it's something that we're hearing for the first time, this 1 billion as a committee. We heard it when they were here. Any other contribution, Honorable Nyakemba?
Thank you, sir. I think the reality is there's this discrepancy in terms of this document and the figure. The one where he put in details as to in which area there is additional funds that are required. I think I agree with Olis on that one. But the area where I disagree on, you see, when you embark on reviewing or coming up with policies and legislations, it's not only something that is happening in the boardroom. There's a lot of things that has to be done. Remember, after then the appeals that are put in place, there has to be public hearings, because if you look at this, for instance, Bonda 1, labor policy and labor market programs. Now, that is not necessarily confined as to what kind of people who will be required to assist the department in that. So the point I'm raising is that whilst I agree with Olis in terms of point three, in the inspection and enforcement services, but at the same time, on both point one and two, in my view, because remember, point two, the public employment services, is not something that is already there. There is going to be a bill that stands alone, which will deal with the public employment services, and linked to it, there is private, they call it placement agencies, which also even that one is taken out of the ILO conventions. It's something that we need to have also as a country. So I'm saying, for me, we need to support this. We need to support it as it is. And I think even on administration, Madam Chair, I think there was a debate here about chartered accountants and a number of things. And people who are leaving the department, because it's evident that throughout all the departments that we have, remuneration and benefits are not the same. There are departments that are paying more than other departments. And as a result, the Department of Labor is very difficult for it to keep people with the skills that are required. So I think the only area where I agree with Honorable Olis is this 100 million that we don't know where is it going to be. It's reflected in the motivation. It's 1 billion in the motivation. But if you look now at the actual details as to which areas need these additional funds, it does disappear. But I think it's important for us to support this as it is, given the these three or four areas, Madam Chair. Thanks.
Sally?
Thanks, Chairperson. You know, reading this motivational letter that requests for the 1 billion submitted by Mr. Mine. I want to bring back to the attention of the committee a question that I asked to the department about their coverage and their footprint and the reasons of them not being in all the I think it's 139 Tusong centers around the country. And Mr. Manyi was very dismissive to say that the Tusong centers found them in existence. And there are areas where Tusong centers are next to labor centers. But my argument was in the rural areas that we are coming from, because we know that one Tusong center can service around 30 to 40 villages. We are not talking about areas like urban areas like or townships where you'll find in Soweto you have a Tusong center, which is about 3 kilometers away from a labor center. But you are talking about we're talking about the rural communities whereby you'll find that a Tusong center is about 300 kilometers away from a labor center, a fully fledged functional labor center. But here in his motivation, he says that the department is compromised by the inability to stretch resources to match our countrywide presence. I don't know, it's very confusing, because if he said they were in operations and they can't go and stretch to all those Tusong centers. But here he says one of the motivations is that currently the department is compromised by their inability to stretch their resources to all, and to be present in the whole country. But again, in any way, I think, when you look at the Tusong centers, the way they were located, and their reason for their existence was to bridge the gap and also bring into realization the Bantu Pili principles that were saying that services need to go to people and people need to get value for money and all those things. But nonetheless, I would think that next time when he comes, we need to reflect back to this letter and say if they are compromised and they can't get to all they can't be present in the country, but he said that they were present all over. It's very questionable. Then I would support the fact that, you know, currently the Minister of Finance mentioned that the country is operating on a deficit. And I don't know where this money would come from. But here I would support that we concentrate on the inspectorate and the enforcement. Because as much as we would put in place laws, but if there's no inspectorate to enforce those things, we might be just going out spending money on programs that at the end of the day, nobody will hold anybody accountable. In this motivation, I would say that we support the extra funding only for the inspectorate and the inspectorate services and enforcement services. The others, I would think that we can.
Thanks, Chairperson. My colleagues have been said it multiple, but I just want to put an emphasis on the issue of concentrating on the IES. We have been discussing a number of things and the crisis that this inspectorate has been facing in the workplaces. Now, to my view, other than looking at other things that have been put here as being in need of funds, let us focus on the IES and see if we at a later stage can focus on others, but start with the IS first. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Khumalo. Honorable
Okay.
Thank you.
Chairperson, based on the request from the DG Mine, if you look at the way he's put his letter, he has prioritized the areas that need attention. Now, would it be wise to, rather than say you are going to look at particular areas and not look at other areas, to request them to perhaps come and re-present themselves in details, indicating in terms of a detailed budget as to where their needs are? Why I'm saying this, you might find that the situation in labor is such that in as much as you want to exclude the other, you might be hurting the other side. If you look at the public employment services, the approach to that as well, where he indicates that they need an IT system, it might not necessarily be a sophisticated IT system, instead more of a controlled and protected IT system. You might find that the situation is such that the funding that he might indicate there might not necessarily be funding that is going to require Treasury to give them the actual money, but it might be an issue of saying, is talking, for instance, IT systems when it relates to CETA is an entity of another department, and it might be an issue of communicating with the other departments and getting their story straight in terms of support to ensure that that IT system is put into place. So if at least he's able to give you a detailed report as to the actual funds allocated to each of the areas that are in need, might be a better option to then decide later to say, this we will prioritize and take up now, and this we might not prioritize in terms of, rather than say, we are going to exclude certain areas. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, members, any more contributions? I think we have come to the end of this discussion. I think we are going to add, I think we should take this report to the Treasury, but this report must be accompanied by our own recommendations, the letter that accompanies this, so that in future, in the next budget, when the Treasury is allocating funds to the Department of Labor, must take into account the areas that have been raised. And all these areas are important. They complement the effectiveness of the Department of Labor. But I think most of the members have spoken to the emphasis on the inspectorate. So we will make that emphasis as the priority number one area that we need the Treasury to look at it with immediate effect, and the other areas where he can. But if he cannot, then at least the next budget must consider the areas that have been raised in this report when they are allocating money to the Department of Labor. So it will be that summary. Members, Comrade Honorable Khumalo.
Chairperson, you will pardon me if I haven't catch it correctly, but what has been said by Honourable Faith, I think, has made some difference on what we were saying. In fact, it was, to me, it has been making sense. It has been beefed up to say, let them come and give the presentation on this document again, so that they give the details. Other than we are saying we are completely excluding. I think maybe in summary we need to put that as well, so that we are giving them a chance again to come in order for them not to be left outside, to say we just conclude by saying they have to leave the rest and concentrate on the this certain inspectorate only. Thanks.
Members, I would want to give guidance. We had to sit today because we have no time. When we come back, we'll be going for the budget vote of the minister. And this must go in before that budget vote. So we have no time of calling the department on the 13th of April, it will be budget vote of the minister, immediately when you come back from the reserve. That's why I'm saying we are not throwing away. We are going to make a recommendation. It's not only Comrade Faith, but also Comrade Nyegemba has gone to town to show how important all these things that are raised in this report. So we're saying we will take it in and motivate, but the emphasis will be on inspectorate, that we must get it as soon as it is possible. For the reason that you have raised, that it will be useless for us to embark on amendments and many other things, but we have no mechanisms to enforce. So, and we have discussed this this program. Comrade, the department was here, and they went into details on this issue. Now they are sending us for the second time. So I think the problem is the question of time. Otherwise, we would go to that route and, in fact, want to understand the difference between what is here and the 1 billion and 900 million, all those things would require from them. But we don't have time. That's why we have to sit at a time that is allocated to us. Honorable Shelly.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also just want to bring something to the attention of the committee that I see Mr. Manyi and the department not reinventing the wheel again, all over again. Because here we know for an instance, there's no sophisticated IT system that he can bring into the department within 2 years. The department has a contractual obligation with Siemens that needs to be run up until kept up until the 2 years expires. We know that Siemens is working on a performance base with them. They sign out what has been done by Siemens, and they pay Siemens. And there's nothing that he can bring before this contract expires within 2 years. So I see. I that's why I say this thing. You know, it was going to be better if he should come, because we were going to have many questions to say. They come and tell us this thing today, and he brings a letter that is very contrary to what the department says. Because if he says here he wants to bring a sophisticated IT system, how is he going to be able to bring that system when he's got a contractual obligation to carry out with Siemens? Right. You know, I mean, it puts us in a situation where we need to ask, go back and ask, does really the DG actually think that he can just write a letter to us? They come here, they present something else, and then he comes out and writes something else to us. What does it take us for? Because at the end of the day, I would think that I don't know whether he has read through all this letter that he has given us. I cited first the issue of two song centers. He says he was very dismissive to say that their footprint is spread all over the country. But here in a supporting letter, in the second paragraph, he says that the department is compromised. It cannot reach throughout the entire country. Then he comes here and talks about the IT system. He knows for a short case that the Siemens has a contract with the department. No other system can be put into the network of Siemens. It's only whereby Rand Mutual is going to come into the compensation fund. The compensation fund made those presentations from WEDCO, and we know about that the situation there. But with public employment service and with the entire department, how on earth are you going to come in and put a new sophisticated system when we know that Siemens is in charge? I mean, you know, some of these things, I would think that partly, I don't want to critique, but I would say that, you know, I don't know if the DG really took all this into cognizance when he wrote this letter to say, yeah, we came to Parliament, we told them 1, 2, and 3. Here I'm now writing a letter saying contrary to what they have been presenting to us. I mean, we've met the department, I don't know for how many times, and they've told us the very same thing over and over, but he comes here and now writes something else that is very contrary. I would think, Chair, I support that we are going to put an emphasis on the inspectorate. Yes, we are not going to put all the rest out into the bin, but we are going to say in the future we want them to come and give us a detailed presentation to say that the funds that they are requesting, how are they going to spend it, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to do 1, 2, and 3, taking into cognizance that they've got other things within the department that they cannot do away with within a certain period. They need to wait for 2 years to get a new system, IT system. Thanks.
I think we understand what is that we're going to do with this report, members. Now, can we adopt this report with the amendments and the attachments and motivations for another or one aspect of the report to the Treasurer? It's a show of hands, members. Honorable Khumalo.
Thanks, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report. Thanks.
Thank you.
With the amendments. With amendments, thanks.
Okay. Amendments and attachments. Seconder?
We would support that, but we're only supporting the additional funds for the inspectorate. With that specific detail in them, yes, I'm happy to support it.
That is loud and clear. There is nothing else. The emphasis will be on inspectorate. Thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank the other members. The meeting is adjourned.